Minute Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 14th on the West Coast, now July the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. If you've been listening at all to any other internet radio, Drew Raines had a very interesting guest today on his show, his regular Wednesday guest on his show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on the two networks that I just mentioned. And there's a lot of new information coming out, again, as far as who is behind this whole thing with the Gulf incident. As I've mentioned on previous shows this week and a little bit last week, I'm working on a piece that is making great progress. It's called Reading Between the Pipelines. And I'm basically going to show you what went on within a couple of years period prior to this Gulf event, showing how this whole thing was being orchestrated behind the scenes, primarily to compete with and to divert the attention of Citadel Investments, LLC, in Chicago. This is a somewhat of an enemy, we would say, a competitor to Goldman Sachs, who is deeply involved in this corruption, along with BP and a host of other characters. And I'm putting that whole thing together, and it was interesting that Dr. A. True Ott brought out another piece, part two of his Beyond Ponzi article, which is posted at his website, atrueott.com, and also on my website, directlightproductions.com. And that piece has been up there for some time now, and it's caused Dr. Ott a lot of grief. Must be because there's a lot of truth in it. He's had his computers hacked, computers plural, many of them destroyed. He's had his internet service and phone service interfered with over and over again. These things aren't coincidental, by the way. And so we're bringing out the truth, and they don't like it. It's simple. What do they expect us to do? Roll over and say, oh, uncle? Well, We know about their fraudulent family genealogy, so the word uncle probably wouldn't matter to them. Doesn't matter. It's an alleged mother, father, grandparents, great-grandparents. Really doesn't matter. We get nothing but lies from these people, nothing but fictions. And tonight's guest actually has a different way of bringing those truths to light, and he does so in song, which I have a great appreciation for, being that I am a professional musician and composer and producer, engineer, all of that stuff, and I love music. And I certainly can recognize talent, and I can recognize special talent, especially when there is a message in the song. And this is a guest that's been on the show not too long ago, and I wanted to have him back. He has been getting a lot of attention, a lot of acclaim for his music and the message therein. We could say he is sort of a protester in that he is making the point, okay? But he is also a light bearer, a bringer of truth. In the words to the song he's written, well, there's the feeling in the music. I mean, you can't listen to his music and not be moved by the message that he's got. And that's basically what he's doing, is conveying a message, communicating his thoughts, his feelings, his perceptions on what is going on. And I'd like to bring back again with great enthusiasm a man who I have great respect for. And when you hear his music, if you haven't heard it, you'll agree that he's got quite a unique talent. His name is Michael Fisher. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's nice to be on. And I'll have to do this more often because you make me feel so good. You make me sound so great.
And the check is in the mail, right?
No. Yeah. I have to do this more often.
Well, Michael, for those listeners that are joining us for the first time, and for the sake of this conversation, some people who may have heard your first interview on Evident Footprints may have forgotten about your music or need to be reminded, whatever. You came out with a song called The Great Reneger. And that word, reneger, which basically means a person that goes back on their word.
That's right.
Has been twisted by certain individuals to imply that somehow you were saying some other word, probably because they don't know how to spell the word reneger. nonetheless, how can you attack a message other than to attack the person that's delivering the message? Isn't that what they do? They like to attack.
Well, that's what I found, that people, when they can't refute what you're saying, because really the film clip that we have, the song clip that's on YouTube, is basically Obama making promises in his own words, and the song just kind of follows along with it. And so if people that don't like that, you know, they accuse me. It's like, you know, shoot the messenger. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of them don't really know the English language very well. And renege is a perfectly good word. And really there is it is really the only word we have in our language that describes somebody who goes back on their promises.
Well, also we have liar.
We have liar. You know, it's true. I mean, but a liar is and we have deceiver. And we actually went back into the studio because we had some people and even some people on the right that listened to the Great Reneger were worried about being accused of racism, and because of that, some person wrote to me a couple months after the Reneger was out, when we had about 2.5 million views, and said that he felt that we should change it to The Great Deceiver.
And did it pay you for the expense that you incurred to do
that? No, unfortunately he did not. But, you know, I thought about what he said, and I thought, well, you know, I'll do that, because I mean, it was close enough. But then there is a difference in the word, what the meaning of the word deceiver and the meaning of the word reneger. Mm-hmm. But we went ahead and we put a version out there. They're both up on the Fishers on YouTube, and you can see both the songs at www.thefishers.net. All the songs are there. And you know, we changed a little bit of the chorus in it as well. And you know, it's now people can have a choice. Both songs are still up there. You can order a copy of either if you like, and you can download it. And basically they get out the same message. The main difference in the Deceiver is that in the chorus it says that Obama is a Marxist knight.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Alinsky himself, he's far left from what's right.
Yes.
Which I thought was, that's a really good line.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you read my The Three Stooges Go to Washington, parts 3 through 7B, But there's a wealth of lyrics in there for you.
Oh, well, you gotta email me that.
Well, just go to my website.
Okay, all right. Okay, that sounds good.
It's under articles, and it's a serial article, and I deal with the various dimensions of what we were presented, and then I counter and debunk what we were presented and show the lies in it. And there was no reneging there. Just flat out lies.
Yeah,
and I expose that, and then I expose the fraudulent documentation, and I expose the fraudulent photographs. See, the two can't be opposite. One can't be false, and the other be true. If any of it is false, they both have to be false. It's as simple as that. And if you have the chance to read it, I think you'll be enlightened, because some of what you picked out for your video, the quotes, sort of, you have this montage of snippets of various speeches and public declarations during the campaign.
Yes.
And they're thematic with the type of research and investigation that I did. They complement it. So I think you owe it to yourself to have a read of that.
I'll check that one out.
Okay. I want to take a few minutes here and play The Great Deceiver for our listeners, if you're not against that.
No, that's fine.
And we can talk about some of the content that's in there. Again, folks, this is Michael Fisher and the remake. We could call this the remix. That's what they call them today.
Yeah. It's just got a few word changes is all. Yeah.
It's The Great Reneger Remix, The Great Deceiver. Okay.
Broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN.
But these negotiations will be on C-SPAN.
It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net. We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN.
We're going to have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN.
It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody's going to be watching.
But all this will be done on C-SPAN in front of the public.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Hey, have you heard? He's gone back on his word on the internet. There's a big long list of promises broken, so eloquently spoken. And you wonder why so many millions are pissed, cause he's the great deceiver, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art. He's the great deceiver, a Marxist knight, just like Alinsky himself. He's far left from what's right.
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. Sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public. No more secrecy. That's the commitment I make to you as president.
He'll tell you anything to get you on his side, like things you can't believe in. Trust me, would I lie? You'll have transparency. C-SPAN, post bills on the net. There'll be no lobbyists, no court. Have we seen it not yet? He's a great deceiver, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. The great deceiver, a Marxist knight, just like Alinsky himself. He's far left from what's right.
When there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online, find out what's in it before I sign it.
We will put government data online in universally accessible format.
They support and we try.
They've had votes in the night, behind closed doors, senators bribed, no better than whores, pushing their program, refusing to hear, when the voice of the people is perfectly clear, cause he's a great deceiver, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art, he's a great deceiver, a Marxist knight, just like Alinsky himself, he's far left from what's right.
President will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
His skin's so thin, when scratched you can't see, a horrible sight.
that lies just beneath. An unseasoned novice lifted up in pride, but there's a fall coming soon. There'll be no place to hide. Just the great deceiver, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art. He's a great deceiver, a Marxist knight, just like Alinsky himself. He's far left from what's right. Teleprompter in place, he can really talk that talk. Blowing smoke is cheap, but he don't walk the walk. What politicians hate is when you turn on the light. He'll run like a roach for the darkness of night. Cause he's a great deceiver, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art.
I'll let citizens track federal grants, contracts, earmarks, and lobbying contracts.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Last week, the Supreme Court reversed essentially a law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations.
That didn't sit well with Justice Alito, who shook his head in disagreement and appeared to mouth the words, not true.
Ask questions in real time. Offer suggestions that will be reviewed before decisions are made.
Transparent and accountable to the American people.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
The great deceiver. We should call him the great receiver. He's receiving a lot of cash on the side to do.
I've come to realize that, you know, I mean, it is like you said. The other word is liar. And you see, I know how they think. It's like they feel like the end justifies the means. So he'll say anything. There's a line in the song that says he'll tell you anything to get you on his side.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It's not like, I mean, most people feel a little bit guilty about saying something that's not true, but the whole way his administration, the things that they do, it's constantly deceptive. It's like the thing with the health care bill. Now they've come out and they've explained that yes, well, the doctor fix was going to be so many billion dollars, and it was going to make the thing look a lot more expensive. So they just left it out. I mean, that's deceitful.
Yeah,
you know.
Or they sneak these things into other bills.
Yeah, it's just deceit. It's just deceiving.
Mm-hmm. Now, while I like the comment on this production, I got to say, from knowing the other version pretty well, I like this mix. It's very transparent. Yeah.
at least somebody's being transparent, huh?
Yeah, but at the same time, even though he's claiming he's going to be transparent, he has become transparent.
Yeah.
But right. by his will, by the perception of the people, and by all the truth that is coming out, the discernment that's coming out from regular people, as well as researchers, investigators, journalists, talk show hosts, and even people in the military. They're seeing what is happening to this country. They think we're just going to lay back and take it? I don't know. Your song certainly gives people hope. You're not really asking anybody to do anything except pay attention to what he said and to listen to your message.
I've got a new one I'm working on right now. I'm not really working on it anymore. It's finished, but I haven't produced it yet. And it's called Arizona. Huh. And I am, it is a bomb of a song. I love it.
Now I've expressed to you, I want you to get into talking about that if you feel like it. I expressed to you that I'd like to work with you on a couple of songs. And on last night's show, I came up with a new term to describe cap and trade. That's what the Gulf of Mexico is about, cap
right.
and trade.
Right.
Okay? And it's called, and I think we could do a pretty funky kind of Memphis rockabilly sound, if you know what I mean, kind of bluesy and funky.
Uh-huh.
And call it Crap and Fade.
That's a good one.
Okay.
All right.
Now, I have an idea for a ballad, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with representative from Georgia, Hank Johnson, but a few months ago, he expressed his concern that if they sent an additional 8,000 Marines and their alleged 17,000 dependents, which I'm told they don't do, but nonetheless, they were counting on an additional 25,000 people being deployed in Guam. The congressman was concerned that, and this is a quote.
Oh, that was going to sink, right?
Guam was going to tip over and capsize.
Yeah. I saw that one. Yeah.
Now, that's exactly what the oil well did in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, I hear that as a slow 12-8 blues, you know, and a big gospel choir with a Hammond B3 and your touch.
Yeah. I hear all these things when I'm doing these things too, and then the reality of it hits home, and I realize how much it's going to cost me.
Well, I can produce the music and get you to do the vocal, and
oh yeah,
and we can put it together.
Well, you do the music and I'll do the vocal. Vocal's easy.
All right.
It's all that other stuff, and then the video on top of it. That's, you know.
Now, you mentioned a song called Arizona, and for those people out there that are wondering, well, why would he write a song about Arizona? Tell us what's going on in the state of Arizona, if you would.
Well, what's happening there is they passed this new law, which basically mirrors the federal law. And the reason they've done it is they've been begging for years now for the border to be closed, and their state is bankrupt due to illegal. You know, you cannot support this thing because they've got 5 million, not 5 million, they've got 500,000. Illegal immigrants there that are in their schools, that are using the hospitals, that are, you know, they're basically draining the resources. They've been draining the resources of the state for quite some time, and they've been begging for government help. And what's happening right now is Obama keeps talking about comprehensive immigration, which basically what he's really talking about is he wants another amnesty. And because that's what I think. He wants another amnesty because if he can do that, he can guarantee for the next 50 years that they'll have, they said back when Reagan had the amnesty that there were, I think there were like 2.5 or 3 million. It turned out that there were nearly twice as many.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to find, if they have an amnesty, that there isn't 12 million immigrants here, illegal immigrants. There's going to be a lot more, maybe double.
Now, it seems on a variety of fronts, what's going on in the Gulf, what's going on in the Southwest, which has been really out there since the onset of the Bush administration. And this is this progressive, permissive attitude of allowing people to come over the border and undocumented, overlooking drug lords that are coming in, incursions by the Mexican and or other national militaries besides the Mexicans, not to mention what the drug cartel is doing to terrorize the communities along the borders of New Mexico and Texas and Arizona. And Arizona has basically, with the exception, I understand, of one single sheriff, and he's a border sheriff. The rest of law enforcement, the sheriff's departments, are working in cooperation with the government of the state of Arizona.
So, well, yeah, it's interesting. I have a son, actually, that's on the police force out there.
You do?
I do. And I talked to him, you know, I talked to him at least, you know, every other week. And I've asked him a lot of, he's also a reservist right now. He just finished a tour in Iraq. And I've had a lot of input from him on what the military feels and what his fellow officers on the police force feel.
And I
asked him about, you know, some of the, because I think at one point there were two or three sheriffs, you know, had sheriffs of different counties that were not supportive. And he basically said that those people are just, they're on the take, or they're on, you know, there's some reason, because, you know, he said that that everybody else is definitely on side. I watched the interview of the one sheriff you're talking about. And, you know, the thing is that the law that they have passed doesn't say anything different than the federal law. And they just want it enforced. And that is the problem, is that Obama is not, he is not going to do this. And what's happened is, you know, it seems to me that every step he makes at this point, he is alienating, he is pushing, he is creating this incredible divide between the people here.
It's by intention.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not even sure that he, you know, I'm a Christian. I was a missionary for many years. And the Bible says, there's a verse that says, not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And Obama really, I mean, he's never run a lemonade stand. I mean, he's never done anything outside of being a community organizer. Suddenly he gets elected as president. He's got all these radical Marxist people that he's appointed as czars and advisors. I think that they're following this. I don't know if you watched Glenn Beck, but he was explaining on their way, you know, a year ago about Cloward and Piven and the whole idea of the imploding of our economy by just spending it into a crash.
Well, and, yeah, they did that long before a year ago, though. So I would say Glenn Beck was a bit late with the. With the information.
Well, that's when I first heard about it. And I looked into it, and I think that there's definitely something there.
Well, they did it starting in 1913.
Right.
they destroyed it, beginning in 1929. And then they created a total, debt society, by 1933. And worked it into law on a local level by 1935, through the emergency rule designation that they use when they pass laws on local city councils. They always say by emergency rule, or by in the event of an emergency, or, you know, they use the term emergency. In declaring an emergency is their favorite one.
Right.
Okay. There is no emergency. This is honoring what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did to basically put local government on subversively under the thumb of the federal government, which is unconstitutional and violates the state's rights. Now, the economy at that time was destroyed because they went off the gold standard at that point.
Yeah.
It's quite clear.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just giving you a little bit of background that there is a history to this. Now, what they tell us and what the situation really is are two different things, just like BP in the Gulf of Mexico. They're lying to us about what's happened, what's happening, what they plan to do, and why.
Yeah. Okay?
And I've done the research on that as I referenced my introduction. I'm going to show you that there was collusion and a conspiracy to do this for financial gain. That's that's, again, a violation of the RICO statutes, and it doesn't matter if it's government or a corporation. It's organized crime is what it is.
Have you ever thought, I mean, this thought came to me this week. I was kind of, because, like I said, I'm a Christian. I'm kind of tuned into what's happening spiritually, you know, like, you know, what's behind the scene, what's behind the real curtain, you know. And I was thinking, you know, this thing with progressives, okay, it's been happening for the last 100 years. I mean, and you've got these people in totally different eras coming up and doing this thing, right? And their idea is to, I mean, they're Marxist in their thought, and you wonder how the ones that were back 100 years ago, you know, whether they were writing things down and passing these things on, or that verse came to me that said this. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Mm-hmm. It's almost like the devil himself is orchestrating this thing through these people. Now, they may read one another's stuff over this 100-year period or not, but it seems to me that there is a spirit behind this whole thing. And it's like the devil's up there with this little puppet thing, and he's pulling the strings.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is spiritual warfare.
Yeah, bottom exactly. Line.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they're stressing. I mean, you know, if you turn on the TV set and watch a TV program, it's imbecilic what they show people. I mean, they have college professors, high school teachers, middle school teachers competing against fifth graders, you know, yeah, on one TV show. And they ask the question, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Right.
And you see a teacher struggling over a second grade level grammar question or some simple historical fact that anybody, even a bum living in an alley someplace, probably knows the answer to this.
Right.
It's showing you the depravity of not just the educational system, but how it's demeaned in the media. And we're supposed to laugh and say, oh, you know, well, there's a dumb teacher, and just, you know, change the channel and watch some other insane program.
I don't know if you saw Leno on July 4th, but he did his jaywalking thing where he goes out and talks to people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking all these people basic questions about July 4th, what it was about, questions about the founding fathers that everyone should know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was horrific. I mean, people knew absolutely nothing. The last group that he talked to was, at first he talked to the husband. He asked him some questions about what Independence Day was about. He really didn't know. They called the wife in, and she didn't know. So then they called, and they said, well, he said, well, your son is over here, right? He's still in school. Now, he was like a young teen. They called him over. He had absolutely no idea. Now, the parents were probably in their 40s. The son, the son was in his young teens. And then he said, well, your grandfather's over here, right? Well, let's get him over here. And so grandpa came over, and he's in his 60s. And he asked him, you know, okay, who sewed the first American flag, you know, and Betsy Ross, you know. I mean, he said, then he asked him these other questions, and it was just bing, 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 bing. He knew all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, 60 years ago, They were teaching everybody about the founding fathers and what the country was all about, how it got started and everything. And now nobody knows anything. And, it's just, to me, it's just, this is the progressive agenda in making everybody incredibly stupid.
And ignorant.
Yeah, ignorant. That's actually where the word is, ignorant.
And then because of that ignorance, there's an apathy that goes hand in hand with it, isn't there?
Right. Exactly.
And that's what your music is about. Mike, I want to take a break and give you a chance to get a sip of water or coffee or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Your pleasure is. Don't go away though.
No, I'll be back. I'll run in there and grab a glass of water. That's a good idea.
let me introduce this song first here. This is your new video. It's posted on YouTube. Stone Cold Dead.
Now, I'm
playing the audio track that you sent me the last time. So,
okay. All right.
Hopefully that'll work.
All right.
You let me know if it doesn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Again,
okay.
Folks, this is Mike Fisher and Stone Cold Dead, his new YouTube video soundtrack.
Hey, they want to take up your guns, man. If they had their way, they'd take them up and melt them down. They'd do it now, today. Hey, they want to take up your guns, man. Criminals are greedy. If they take them up and melt them down, just save some for me. Hey, it's got to make you a madman. Hey, it's got to make you see red. Ain't no way to get my guns unless I'm stone cold dead. Keeps his house in peace. I say if a bad man comes to my house, he might just get deceased. In this world, the darker grows with each and every day. Everyone better have a gun, and everybody ought to pray. It's got to make you a madman. Hey, it's got to make you see red. Ain't no way to get my guns unless I'm stone cold dead. I'm stone cold dead. The Second Amendment tells us all that we have the right. And time just might be coming soon when we have to rise and fight. For there are those among us sending out alarms. That's why our founding fathers gave us the right to bear arms. Man. Hey, they want to take up your guns, man.
Michael Fisher and Stone Cold Dead. Michael, has this song caught on with any of the movements out there where people are paying attention? And
I don't think it's caught on. I mean, it hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, I think it could still. You know, there's a lot of people that are gun owners.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it, you know, when you have something that goes viral, it just depends on people. you know, you wind up, people send it around and it just expands. You know how that works.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this one hasn't clicked as quick as The Great Reneger did. But I think that it could. You know, I think it could, you know. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Now, you're not necessarily promoting violence here. In fact, I don't think you are at all. You're just speaking of a Second Amendment right.
Well, and I mean, there's some good things that have happened recently that, you know, the court, you know, kind of came down on the side of the Second Amendment as far as the way that it's interpreted by people who love God, love the Constitution, you know, and they've said that, you know, that yes, individuals do have a right to protect themselves and own a gun. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that those people that have been fighting against this are not going to continue to do so. And I think that's we need to be ever vigilant on that one. And because like that verse says, there are those among us sending out alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why on the video there you see Bloomberg and you see Soros and you see Hillary and Obama. You got their little names kind of appearing and then kind of disintegrating, and it's kind of a cute little thing there. But we have people that are definitely anti-gun that would love nothing more than to see us not have them. And on that video, if you go to the website again at the fishers.net, you can read the quotes from the founding fathers and the quotes from those of today, politicians of today. And they are so far from each other because the founding fathers gave us that right to bear arms. And the reason for it was that we would be able to protect ourselves from an out of control government.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that it could very well mean that down the road there could be violence.
It appears that all of this is intended to provoke a race war. Now, it's very subtle. That's unspoken, certainly, by the other side. When we complain about illegals coming into the country, we're called racists. There's the tip-off right there, you see. It's not about racism. It's about illegal entry into this nation.
Yes.
And I'm speaking about the constitutional republic. I'm not speaking about the corporation. See? And that's another place where they're mincing words. Forget about what the 4th of July means.
Yeah. It's beyond me I mean, sometimes anymore I watch Fox News, and you'll have people on the left arguing for something, and I mean, it's beyond me how they can even think that way. I'm just befuddled sometimes.
Yeah.
And but they do.
Well, don't you think, Mike, that they're actually being told what to think, told what to say? So they're just delivering the message for someone else.
Well, maybe so, but they actually, I mean, some of them, I think, actually believe it.
Oh, yeah. You can bring anybody. You can describe two generations totally brainwashed.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And they walk among us, and they vote.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that's the thing. I think, you know, I mean, my thing right now is I feel so strongly that what needs to happen is that Christians, the people that call themselves Christians, if they don't rise up and vote, I was actually thinking about it tonight, and I actually am thinking about writing something out there and questioning their salvation if they don't vote. And I mean, I would say that people, Christians that don't vote are God's vomit. And that's from that verse in Revelations that said, I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew or puke thee out of my mouth. And I kind of feel like Christians that can't get off their butt and can't be bothered to do a little bit of homework and find those people and question their beliefs and look into it, do their homework. If they don't care enough about this country to look into who they're voting for and stand up, get out there and do it, then I think they're so lukewarm that they are indeed God's vomit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that?
Yet, because of some of the leadership of these mega churches who are really being lied to about what's going on, it gives everyone else the impression that the next election, should these Christians vote, would somehow become sanctimonious. You still have the issue of election fraud, massive
right.
election fraud. So,
right.
you know, but your point is well taken. Certainly, there are a lot of people who are professing to stand for what is right, and they do absolutely nothing. But
50% of Christians aren't even registered to vote. In 2000, I think it's 2 out of 3. That's what set off that song "Get Out and Vote." Mm-hmm. Was that in 2003, a 2000 election? 2 out of 3. Christians, fundamentalist Christians, did not vote. Now, the founding fathers, those people that came over here and pioneered this country, were people of deep faith. This is another thing, you know. Those on the left, progressives, they have this doctrine that all the founding fathers were deists. And it's not true. It's not true. If you go back to the writings of the founding fathers, there might have been a few deists among them, but the majority of those people were Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians. And they gave their lives to come over here. Those people that signed that Declaration of Independence, many of them lost everything they had because of that. They lost their wives, their lives, their everything, because they were dedicated. They believed. And it's like, if we today, that's the problem. We have taken for granted what our founding fathers gave their lives for. And so that people can just sit at home now and not bother to even go down to the polls.
Yep.
It's just terrible.
Well, then again, you described it from this Leno jaywalking episode.
Yes.
That basically shows that there's a generational gap. And so this was underway for quite some time.
Now, yes.
And you have to hold, you know, even though those parents knew about it, why is it that their children didn't know that? Are they expecting the government to provide that information? You see, we've been hoodwinked into trusting what's going on behind the scenes. And parents don't really, most parents don't really take the time to assess the education their kids are getting. They're too
well. Yeah, I was watching this. I was watching this program the other day, and it was talking about, you know, since everything changed, you know, it's probably been about 60 years since they thrown God out. You know, we no longer have the Ten Commandments, you know, in our courtrooms. We, you know, there's no prayer in the schools, and what's happened is we've lost God. We've thrown him out.
Well, I've said this. I said this to Pastor Lindsey Williams a month and a half ago. They tell us that we've lost God, and as long as we permit that, as long as we accept that as the truth, then it becomes a reality.
Right.
Isn't it really in the spirit, in the heart of the individual to know? And if you're hearing such a lie, if you really know God, then they are only telling us that. You see? We have an obligation to discern what they're saying, is the point I'm making. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was watching this on this program. They were showing what happened, what has happened with crime since that time, what has happened with teen pregnancy since that time, what has happened with, you know, I mean, it everything. They had these graphs. And I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And you can, if people can't look at that and say, oh yeah, well, yeah, that's the cause. We threw God out. There's a verse in Psalm 927. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And I can't see that it's really, I mean, you know, going to church, just going to church doesn't make you a Christian.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And, and of course, a lot of people don't go, not as many people go to church today as they used to. And, you're right about that. You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you believe that line, you know, then of course, you know, we have thrown God out.
Well, and now how do you explain all these churches that sought 501c3 tax designation so that they could be sanctioned by the government to be a tax-free entity when it's a constitutional provision?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been reading this book. I'm a third of the way through this book here. It's called When a Nation Forgets God, and it's by Irwin W. Lutzer. And he is a historian that is very well versed on what happened with Hitlerian Germany. Mm-hmm. And he goes through and he explains in detail what it was that took place over there because of the economy. And this is a brand new book, by the way. It's just out. It's a 2010 book, so it's real new. And he explains in there the state of the Christian church and how they finally turned everything over to Hitler. And there were a few. There was some people like Niemöller, people that we've all heard quotes from, but those people wound up in prison. Where, you know, he was saying in there that many of the Christians in Germany took portraits of Christ down from their wall and hung Hitler in its place. And, you know, they were willing to sacrifice their freedom for food, you can see in the state that the Christian church is in today here, the same thing could happen here.
Yeah, well, I think you have to be a bit more resourceful than to depend on somebody else to provide the food for you.
Yes.
We're in that same lazy, apathetic, 30-second microwave meal reality, and most people don't even go to the extent of buying the food and taking it home and nuking it. They have it done. They have it done by somebody that can't even count the change they're due.
Right, right. It's a yep.
You want to talk about dumbing down of society? Of course, this is the corporate America at work, and there is the mainstream media, or the lying mainstream media, the propagandized media, pushing the corporate agenda, whether it's oil products or the derivative products that are sold, like cars and trucks and motorcycles. And then you have the rise of the distillery community, along with the pharmaceutical companies. They're the primary advertisers, and they dictate to the media what they will say and what they won't say about certain topics, because this is a massive conspiratorial agenda that's being carried out through the mainstream media.
Right.
Regardless of what channel you're watching, It really doesn't matter. They insert the disinformation and the mind control into movies that come out that sometimes within a couple of months of a false flag event, like The Lone Gunman on Fox, which came out about 3 months before 9/11, describing the exact same situation. How did that get by everybody? Well, not everybody watches Fox. Not everybody watches TV. But those that saw it didn't even realize what they were seeing. Even after 9/11 happened, people said, no, they didn't do that. Well, watch it. You can see that pattern. I see parallels between the movie The 3 Days of the Condor and what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico right now. Not completely, because that's a very marginalized group of people that were involved in the central theme of the story. But if you remember that Robert Redford movie,
yes,
Max von Sydow was in it, Cliff Robertson, and basically you see the CIA taking out its own agents, and these were people who gave them ideas based on all the books that they read and the things that they discerned, looking for patterns and clues. And, this was turned against them. Robert Redford spent the whole movie running,
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long time to run, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
An hour and 90 minutes plus commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are definitely there's a lot of people now. Anybody who is anyone in the finance world is saying we are heading for, we're going broke. Even this new National Debt Commission that Obama, with Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles, they both came out and they even the Democrat said that. If we don't cut back on this extremely extravagant spending, we are going to hit the bottom. So you've got all these people throwing this warning out there. And if everything just keeps on going.
Don't you see these commissions as being nothing but impediments to the truth? In other words, they can control any investigation that might happen to occur.
Quite possible, but if they're saying that if we don't stop spending, we're gonna collapse. I think that's his plan. I think he'd like to see the whole thing implode. Because I have believed for many years. I've been a teacher of the Bible and what is going to happen in the end time. And I believe that what is actually going to happen is at some point in time there is going to be a monetary collapse for the whole world, and we're going to have a one world government. And out of this collapse, this calamity that's going to just have the whole world just totally freaked out, that the Antichrist that the Bible talks about is going to emerge with the wisdom of Satan, and he's going to be able to pull the world out of this horrible catastrophe. And because of that, the Bible says that the world is going to worship him. They're going to say, who is likened to the beast?
And there's the great deceiver again.
Yeah, that's the really great deceiver. And the one that we have now is just a foreshadow. Although I think he thinks he is the great deceiver.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor James David Manning calls him the long-legged Mac Daddy. And after seeing him without his shoes standing next to what appeared to be about an 8-year-old girl, I renamed him the short-legged Mac Daddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that, you got to be from the hood to know what that means, folks.
Yeah.
Michael, we're almost out of time here. I did want to play one other song.
Okay.
The title that caught me, I didn't play this the last time you were on the show, The Famine.
Okay, right.
Is that an appropriate choice?
Sure, sure. That's my wife singing.
Okay. You want to give the listeners sort of a heads up and tell them what inspired the song?
This song was I was getting ready to go to Russia, and I had a 19-year-old daughter that I was here in the States. I lived in Australia for many years, this daughter had never. She was born in Australia. She's an Australian citizen, and she was coming over to join me on this mission to Russia. And she was at LAX. She'd flown in, and the people who were supposed to pick her up were late. And for a 19-year-old Australian girl, LAX, was quite a shocking experience. And so she sat down, pulled her guitar out of her case, and she wrote this song. And she wrote the song from start to finish in, you know, like 10 or 15 minutes. And I just love the song. I think, you know, because she was so moved at what she saw with the people. So my wife recorded it. It's the famine.
And your daughter's name is?
Karenina Fisher.
Karenina Fisher. Okay.
Right. And she lives in Melbourne.
Okay. This is the famine. Well, we've got listeners there.
All right.
In the outback. To Wind Talkers Radio Network.
So right.
Hopefully they're listening. And good day there, folks.
Yeah, good day.
All right, Karenina Fisher.
Nation proclaims, but trust died years ago, and God is among the list of names of people you don't know. There is a famine for love sweeping this nation. There's a famine for peace of mind. Tears that I weep for the death of souls and lives, some buried alive from sadness, others perish from guns and knives. There is a famine for love sweeping this nation. There's a famine for peace of mind. There's a famine. Killing all mankind. was for you he died. And his word of life can heal your soul and fill that emptiness inside. There is a plan for love shaping this nation. There's a plan for peace of mind. There's a plan.
Michael, I don't have to tell you something you don't know, but that is really a heartfelt song.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And a productive use of 15 minutes, probably the most I've seen in a long time, done by an 19-year-old.
Yes.
It's fantastic. I'm getting chat messages from people telling me how much they're moved by this song. And I was wondering if you had contemplated putting a video together of this one at some point.
Well, I was, as I was listening to it here, I was thinking that, we probably need to do that. I was getting the pictures, you know. I mean, the song comes from, it was inspired by Amos chapter 8:11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And it's like, it's talking about, "They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst." And it's like the generation, the generation that's out there now, has no connection with God. They don't realize it, but there is a famine, and they are dying. They're dying spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the song really is all about. I thought, while you were playing it there, I thought I was kind of visualizing my wife, you know, doing this video. I thought it'd be great.
And I was seeing that too. So
yeah.
You know what she looks like. So
yeah. If you go to the website, there's a picture of us. The video of the Stone Cold Dead. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of our whole family there. We're kind of, we went in, you know, these little Photoshops where you go and you put on all the old garb.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I said, I still don't know what she looks like.
Yeah.
I can imagine what she looked like in the 1800s. But well, it is really a beautiful song, and it would be nice to see something there. I'm sure it would be something that would ingrain the message into the,
yes,
the souls of the listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that the song is not powerful. Well, wow. Time really flies. I had alluded to bringing Sam on the show, if we could arrange that somehow. I know this is a late hour.
He's actually, I was telling you when you first called in, we just went out to a Boy Scout camp. He's at a Boy Scout camp.
Oh.
And he's a Boy Scout. Yeah, they're doing a 6-day camp.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the middle of the week. We went out to see him, it's a, you know, big thing for him.
Now, is he still 12 or?
He just turned 13.
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the next time we have you on the show, it's worth another go-around of did Charlie make a monkey out of you?
That
introduction is a classic.
We'll
save that for the next time. I'd like to have you back. Hopefully you'll come back sometime in the month of August.
Hey, well, we're always happy. You know, August is a big month.
It is.
It is. There's some big tea party things going on, and say some prayers for me. I want to get this Arizona song out.
Well, that, and let me know if there's anything I can do to help you get some of your music to people that you would like to have it, who have a function going. Maybe you're having trouble just getting the word out through our network of people around the world. We can do that pretty quickly.
Well, you know, the main thing for us, we would love to get out and do, you know, we love to get out and perform live. I mean, there's no point in you write songs and you know, we've got them on the internet we're trying to get a video for each one and getting it on YouTube. But there's nothing like getting out there and meeting people face to face and getting a chance to actually, like we're talking right now, like you go and you sing and then afterwards you get to actually talk to people and you know, get to meet them, and that's terrific.
Yeah. Well, you let me know if there's anything we can do, and there you have it, folks. If you have a group that's planning an event and you'd like to have the Fishers come and perform, you can hear them live. Mike, it's up to you to give them the contact information.
Okay. Well, you can look at it's at www.thefishers, and that's the Fishers is spelled FISCHERS, thefishers.net. And all the info's on there, and our phone number, our email, and everything. So, and if you like the songs, you can go there and download MP3s, or you can order. We've got a couple albums that are available on there, and of course we've got the single of the great Deceiver, the Great Renegar, Stone Cold Dead, and Get Out and Vote, and yeah, there's quite a few songs there. So go and take a look at it.
All right, Michael Fisher. From the Fishers, the composer of The Great Renegar changed to The Great Deceiver. Not much difference there.
Yeah. They're both available.
They're both available, yes. And also Stone Cold Dead. That's a new YouTube video. I want to let the listeners know that you got at least 2.5 million hits, if my count is correct.
No, actually, it's over 3 now.
Oh, through 3 million hits.
Yeah, on the Renegar.
On the Renegar.
It's still the one that gets all the, you know, where we get people downloading and ordering singles. You know, we ship out a lot of CDs and DVDs of that song. You know, that's the biggest one we have.
Okay, I have to make sure to get my copy because
yeah.
All right. Well, Michael Fisher, thank you for being on Evident Footprints. I look forward to your next visit, and we'll get together soon on that.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's special guest, Michael Fisher. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and BlogTalkRadio.com. Also want to thank Don Newsom for the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be, and this is a different guest than you're used to on Thursday nights. Normally we have Drew Raines. He's made way for scientist inventor Jim Murray. And in Jim's place on Friday night, all the way via Argentina, we're going to have Adrian Salbucci on Friday night. So you don't want to miss either one of those shows. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.